and Camino with Kit Hogg.
To work at what you love. This is one of the Buddhist tenets of right livelihood. So many of us wind up in a career that is little more than tolerable. It's a job. But imagine this. Imagine you could sing and were good enough to be paid for doing it. Not just the odd gig, but to be a professional singer. My next guest is just that. Spending her formative years here in Andalusia, singing is her living. On tour at present with the renowned tribute band, Rumours of Fleetwood Mac. She joins us from Cologne in Germany. Ella Chi Wolfman, welcome En Camino.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. And how's the tour going?
Yeah, it's really good. We're just at the start of it still. We went to Iceland and did 2 dates in Iceland, and now we're in Germany. We got here yesterday. We flew from Reykjavik to Gatwick and jumped on the tour bus and then got the ferry. And now we drove overnight and now we're in Cologne. So, we've got a show tonight here.
Okay. So how was Iceland? You began in Reykjavik, and I know you were only there for a couple of days. It was probably dark most of that time, but how did you experience Iceland?
I've never been before. It was icy, it was snowy, and it's quite rare that you leave the UK for somewhere that has worse weather. But everyone there is really upbeat and kind and friendly and just really kind of positive. Mm. Even though I was told by a friend that I met that they all take vitamin D tablets and antidepressants. But anyway, they were lovely people. I went to the Blue Lagoon, which was this incredible experience. You get on a bus and you drive about an hour from Reykjavik and you go into these sulfury thermal baths, and it's like being on another planet. It's the most bizarre experience. So I got to do that, and that was definitely on my bucket list. Shows were brilliant as well, obviously. They were sold out, and in the main venue of Reykjavik, it was about 2,000 people.
Oh,
and
wow.
And yeah, really good response to the shows. It was brilliant.
Yeah, and they know all the songs, presumably.
Yeah, I think so. The set has a couple of, like Stevie's solo career songs that maybe aren't so well known, but well known by hardcore Stevie Nicks fans. But then, we do all the classics as well, so everyone knows them. Like Don't Stop and Tusk and, the crowd pleasers. So this is kind of something for everyone, I guess, in the show.
And of course, you play Stevie Nicks, don't you?
Yes.
And that's quite well. But before we talk about actually playing a particular part, how did you become involved with Rumours of Fleetwood Mac?
I had worked with a company on another project, which was a Pink Floyd tribute band called Brit Floyd, and I toured with them for a few years, and then I had a break because of COVID and I had a couple of babies, and then the boss called me and he said, "Are you around for this role?" And I did, I did a kind of an audition type thing, and then I got the job. But I share it with the other singer, so we kind of we both share that role.
Right, right. That makes it workable, doesn't it? Because you're a mum. Otherwise, you'd be away for way too long.
Exactly.
So
it's perfect for me.
And previous tours, you've toured the States, yeah, and England.
Yep, toured the States, all around the UK, Europe, just kind of all corners of Europe.
Spain as well. Did you come to Spain?
The band came to Spain, but the other thing was on those dates.
Okay.
I've played in Spain a lot before.
Yeah,
but they really tour. They tour about 6 to 9 months of the year, and they do all of Europe and then a lot of North America. yeah, so they're really busy, and it's like every show is full, you know, and so many Fleetwood Mac fans out there get to enjoy the music again.
Yeah, I mean, a really well-known band. And so you're playing Stevie Nicks. And I'm wondering, as a singer, you obviously have to sing the songs in her style. Otherwise, it doesn't sound like Stevie Nicks. But how important is that? And how important is your appearance? And I mean, do you feel that you kind of inhabit her even, like an actor would?
Yes, it's not cabaret though. I'm not pretending to be her. It's more a nod to Stevie Nicks. And my costume, for example, is this kind of black dress that's kind of witchy and flowy, like something that she would wear. And I do my hair a bit like hers. But they were very clear, we don't want you to mimic, you know, being her. It's more kind of taking on essences of her. So I had a bit of training because her voice is very low, actually, as a female vocalist. Some of the songs are very low. So I had a bit of help with getting those notes and getting her tone. She's got quite a twangy, but then also southern drawl to her voice. And then there's that gravel as well. So
yeah, it's quite smoky, isn't it? It's a smoky voice.
Yeah, smoky and witchy, and her vibe on stage was, you know, she was kind of almost the focal point of the band. People would like to watch her, so her movements, and so I've studied her, but I'm not mimicking her. It's almost just kind of paying homage to her.
Sure, and yeah, that is the essence of a tribute band, really, isn't it? Unless you're Freddie Mercury or something, and become Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
you know, absolutely. So, your favourite song, tell us.
I really like Rhiannon. Yes. Rhiannon is my favourite.
Yeah.
Because you get to really blow out at the end when it gets really rocky.
Yeah.
And then I like Sarah as well, because it's kind of got this whimsical, dreamy feel to it. But there's so many. Learning her and learning the material, and just discover how many hits they had, and her songwriting, and I can really connect to, I don't know what she's putting across in the song. So luckily, I really love playing the role. I can really connect with it, you know.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
Did you do Landslide?
I do Landslide as well.
That always gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, it's very emotive, and it's definitely a moment in the show. But this, again, it's so low. It's such a low song. If you try and sing it as a female singer, it took me some practices to get those low notes.
Yeah, I can remember singing it at an open mic once quite easily.
Did you?
Yeah, I mean, probably didn't sound very nice, but there was as it was a female vocal, I was surprised how easy it was.
Yeah,
so just to go back a little over your history and how you got into singing, because your voice has been attracting audiences since you first began singing. I mean, shortly after arriving in Spain, living in a small pueblo, I quote this anonymous scenario. It's an anecdote from your teen years, and you're singing in the bath. And the anecdote goes, her song floating out of the open bathroom window, like tumescent soap bubbles hanging in the night sky. Unbeknown to her, on the big rock next to the house, Juanjo and his amigos were sitting in unusual silence below. Marcela, they shouted when she'd finished.
Oh my God, so embarrassing.
Do you remember that?
I don't remember that, but okay. I remember hearing that.
That has been,
I was probably so embarrassed.
That has been, yeah. Yes, you imagine looking out of the window. So in your teens, you left Spain for vocal college in England, and you actually went to two vocal colleges. How formative was this, and could you have been a singer without college?
I think I could have, but my contacts, really, I went to those colleges as a kind of stepping stone, because I was coming from Spain. I knew no one in England, let alone in the music scene and the industry. So those years were, you know, you were making connections with your peers that I still work with and know today. And it's like a playing ground, like you get to practice your craft. But those, when you left college, you weren't really told, I don't know what it's like now, but when I was there, you weren't really briefed on actually how to make a living as a musician. What I should have been told in those years, because I left those colleges and worked in bars for years until I kind of managed to get enough work as a singer to leave those jobs. But what they should have really told me is put a function band together, make a video, apply to it. Just the easiest way to immediately earn money as a musician. We weren't really taught that, so I had to learn kind of by myself how to actually make a living as a singer. And I got into music wanting to be an artist and a songwriter, and that's something that I still do. But it's tough to make money, you know, doing that. You need that kind of backup, and that's how I fell into being a function session singer. But I love it because there's less pressure, because it's not all my material. I get to just play a role, get paid, and enjoy, you know, singing and performing.
Yes, but to start with, when you came out, you know, fresh faced and starry eyed, came out of college, it was a solo artist that you wanted to be. I mean, which is and I suppose really what you're saying is that they should have pointed you in the direction of possibly not being a solo artist, because that is tough, isn't it? It's like a reinvention of you, giving so much
really
energy
tough
to your profile, your image. And you have to be you have incredible self-belief, really, and endless faith.
Yeah, so many skills. You have to market yourself, you have to be a business person, you have to be a songwriter, a producer, a mixer. You have to invest money, or you're asking for lots of favors, and in the meantime you're not making any money from that. And the easiest way is to either teach, which I never really wanted to do, and or just start a little covers band and get a few gigs.
Yeah,
but I went off to London and worked in bars for years and did all kinds of jobs, and
yeah,
and then suddenly I started getting work as a singer, so I can leave those jobs, thank God.
But what we're forgetting here is that you were actually writing. And you were writing a lot.
I was writing.
And the only way to get your stuff on stage, you know, to get that exposure, is to actually do it, which means you're not being a cover artist, are you? You're actually being an original artist.
That was my focus. For those years when I was working in the bars, on every day that I wasn't doing that, I was in the studio writing. And I had various record deals, and I had some playlists, Radio 2 playlist success with my material, and yeah, I'm really proud of that. But to actually make a living from that,
yes,
the sacrifices that I made, I never did a gap year, I never went on a holiday or did traveling or anything like that. I was just in London trying to make it work for years, and it was great, but it is a real sacrifice to be an artist. And now I'm a bit older, I want to be able to make a good living and enjoy my life and be able to go on holidays and things like that, rather than just, you know, really plugging away, even though I am doing my own material as well. But that's kind of a separate thing.
I mean, the word function band is not terribly glam, but you have been to some fairly exotic locations now that you're an established function band singer. Tell us about some of those gigs.
Yeah, well, this last year, 2024, I was very lucky. I got to go to the Seychelles for 5 days and perform in a very exclusive resort out there. I was just flown out there. I found out the day before, I got a call, can you go to the Seychelles?
You found out the day before?
Yeah, the day before, I got a call.
Wow.
I said, are you available to go to the Seychelles to play in a very exclusive resort? And I said, yeah. Clearly, and I spent an amazing 5 days kind of on my own wondering what I was doing, and I ended up singing 2 songs for the 5 days that I was there, but I got paid quite well from that, and it's just one of those moments where you're just like, oh, I love my job. And then another time, I've been to India this year, I've done a wedding in India, and I've been to America, all of Europe, well, not all of Europe, but a lot of Europe. And then, you know, Italy I've been, and I just love it. I love the traveling. I like to get away from my kids and have a...
Like, you like coming back to them as well, presumably.
I like coming back to them as well.
Yeah, sure.
And every day is different, which is what I really love about my job. And I get to see the world.
Yeah, that's fantastic, isn't it? Every day is different. You're not turning up and playing at the same place day in, day out. You're in different places. I just want to finish by talking about the Pink Floyd tribute bands. You played in a couple of Pink Floyd tribute bands, and quite different from singing Fleetwood Mac, because it's mainly BVs, isn't it? It's mainly backing vocals.
Yeah, with Pink Floyd, it is. Lots of oohs and ahs.
Apart from
Great Gig in the Sky,
which is just a
bit more challenging, yeah.
Really? Is that the most... I mean, that is a tour de force. Is that the most challenging thing you've ever sung? I mean,
definitely.
Imagine. 100%. And how do you approach that explosive emotion that everyone in the audience is anticipating?
Yeah, I think what I learned through singing it every night on, you know, 30-day tour is you can't actually give it that explosive emotion every time because you have to preserve your vocal. So it is about technique with added emotion. And it took me a long time, because I've sang it for years, but it took me a long time to focus on the technique before the emotion, actually. And then the emotion, you leave that to the audience to feel. Because if you're just hammering it every night, you're going to ruin your voice and you won't be able to do it every night. But the nerves that I felt when I first started doing it were just, the most nervous I've ever felt. But you just kind of have to harness that energy and put it into the performance.
Sure.
But technically, it's a crazy song because you're going to the highest of your range in belt voice, and the annotation, I had to transcribe it and learn it, and like down to a T, the original, because it means so much to the people who love that song. You really have to pay it, do it with honor, you know?
Sure, yeah, sure. I mean, it's what everyone's waiting for. I remember seeing you sing it in Portugal in a big locale, about 6,000 people. I got the full force of it there. Ella, it's been absolutely lovely having you on. Finally, your writing and solo career, you're still performing your own work occasionally, yes? You haven't turned your back on it completely.
No, not at all. My artist name is Vivian, like Vivian Westwood, Chi, C-H-I, Vivian Chi, and I'm on Spotify and Instagram, and I've got a lot of material on there. It's kind of, I guess, indie kind of electro. Just check it out. I'm going to do an originals gig in London in April.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it because I love it now. I'm doing it for the right reasons, whereas before I put so much pressure on it.
Yes.
And my creativity sort of, I don't know, you're focusing on the business and trying to make money rather than the actual creative part. So now I get to just focus on the creative part. I'm enjoying doing that with no pressure.
Yeah, lovely. And I'm sure the work will benefit for that as well. Vivian Chi, Ella Chi Wolfman, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on En Camino.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
Bye-bye.